Got a chance to talk to the physical therapist for the UFC, that's Ultimate Fighting Championship. Her name is Heather Linden, and she's got a really, really cool job with a ton of insight into a huge, huge, mega big sport. So I wanted to share that story with you, so take a listen. Episode brought to you by Owens Recovery Science, a single source for PTs seeking certification in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training and the equipment you need to apply it. Find Johnny and his team online at owensrecoveryscience.com. Show, as always, is free, but the one thing we ask is tell one friend. Share an episode online, retweet it, whatever. That's the best way you can repay us. Without further ado,
broadcasting to physical therapists around the world. This is the PT Pintcast. May I introduce?
Please allow me to introduce you to.
Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
All right, welcome to the show. Recording this one with someone very, very interesting. On the phone right now is Heather Linden. Heather, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Heather, you've got a really, really different... I was on Twitter, and you kind of get into rabbit holes on Twitter, right? You get into really weird stuff. On Twitter, came across your profile. Tell everybody what you do.
So currently, I am the director of physical therapy for the UFC. Ultimate Fighting Championship. So very new position that was recently established 18 months ago. And super new for everything about working in combat sports and stuff for myself with pertaining to MMA. Though have had, you know, the background of working with Olympic athletes and our combat Olympic athletes. So that kind of transitioned pretty seamlessly.
Yeah. So talk about that just a little bit. Well, first of all, I love just the term combat athletes. I think that's really cool. And I saw that you had two Olympics under your belt working with athletes.
So I've done actually three Olympic Games and then one youth Winter Olympic Games as well. The London Olympics, the Sochi Olympics, the Rio Olympics, and then the Youth Olympics in Norway.
Wow. And you're saying combat athletes, narrow that down for someone like me. Which sports?
Usually we consider combat athletes is going to be gymnastics. It's going to be wrestling, women's, men's freestyle, men's Greco. It's going to be judo. It's going to be taekwondo. It's going to be boxing. So those are the main combat sports coming out of the Olympic world.
I love that you led with gymnastics. That was not the first sport that would have come to mind. But the second you said it, I was like, man, those landings are mean.
Yeah, and it's pretty crazy because most people don't think gymnastics as a combat sport, but you look at their body awareness, being in the air, landings, moves that they make their bodies do and rotational components, how much the balance, the single leg stuff that they do, how that translates really much into that combat world as well.
Pretty much all the stuff that gymnasts do at the Olympic level, they're pretty much ninjas.
Yes, exactly.
Essentially. So that is cool. So you're seeing a variety of athletes at the Olympic level doing a bunch of different sports. So your head's got to be like a PT, right? We're trained, you know, movement experts is what the APT likes to call us. That allows you to view an athlete saying, okay, what are the demands of your sport? And you can hop between gymnastics or Greco-Roman or anything really. So what got you into that real quick?
Kind of I grew up in sports myself, like have always been an athlete, you know, always kind of was a tomboy growing up. So I thought whatever the boys could do, I could do it as well. Had the gymnastics background, was around wrestling, never did it myself, but my brother was. So just kind of was always around sports and always had that draw from a physical therapy standpoint to kind of transition into that. And when the opportunity after being an outpatient orthopedic PT for about 5 years presented itself with the Olympic Training Center, I jumped right on it. Yeah. So I was definitely like, you know, this is where I foresee my future going. Sports world really excites me, and to kind of see what they're doing so far with it and what can the progress that will happen in the next 15, 20 years in sports. Knew that was the avenue I wanted to go. And upon getting that Olympic opportunity and then scoring a full-time job with them, you know, it really opened my eyes to all the different disciplines. I mean, there's over 50 sports in the Olympic and Pan Am and Para Pan Am. And so you get to learn a lot of sports. And for me, it was really cool because being based out of Colorado Springs, we were kind of like the hub where all the different sports kind of cycled in summer and winter athletes. being able to see the different components that each sport kind of, you know, the trends that you would see with injuries, the trends that you would see with the everyday practices and things like that, and just how you could really wrap your head around that and then look at it, like you said, more from a movement specialist and looking and treating the whole body rather than just, you know, the one little symptom that is presenting itself.
We'll get to UFC stuff in a second, but like best Olympic moment that comes to mind, or, you know, one of your favorites, because there's got to be a lot. What comes to mind working with those ridiculously talented athletes?
You know, honestly, it's hard to pick one best. I think the best thing that I can say that comes out of it, when you see an athlete that has literally devoted their entire life, I mean, I'm talking from sometimes the age of 5 or 6, and literally gets to stand on that podium, it's the most amazing thing ever. Wow. And, you know, also having those injury stories where, you know, an athlete blows out their ACL at, you know, the Olympic qualifier, but they win the Olympic qualifier. And then how do you get them to an Olympic game? So like more of it, I would say, would be the moments and the relationships I developed with these athletes and seeing the struggles and the ups and downs between injuries, between, you know, devoting their whole life for this. And then the proudest moment of being on that podium. I would say in London Olympics, it was pretty cool because I knew the men's gymnastics team really well, but then they didn't perform as much as they should have in that sense of what the expectations were. So to be there by their side, even when it's at the low, you know what I mean? Where they were upset about that was pretty cool. The swim team, I was kind of partnered with them in the Rio Olympics. So had been out to a lot of their competitions throughout the 18 months prior. And then being able to sit there the last night with all of them and celebrate having won the most medals possible. And also, I think, which was pretty cool, is the average age of our of the team, you know, in the Rio Olympics is starting to trend more, you know, late 20s, early 30s, where back in the day, Olympic athletes are really looked at as being these young kids, really. And now with the help of recovery and body awareness and PTs and chiros and that whole multidisciplinary approach, you see the longevity of these athletes and them just attaining their goals year after year, which is pretty cool.
That is really cool. Yeah, you had a couple. There was a decent swimmer or two on that Rio Olympics team, men's team, right?
Maybe. A couple. Decent, right?
All right. So you're in Colorado Springs. You're doing Olympic stuff. UFC, you got to tell me the story and how'd you make the jump to that? And then we'll get into what that's like.
Honestly, it happened all of a sudden. I wasn't really looking for another job. I absolutely loved what I did at the USOC. I would say there was, you know, you have your little silos in any world in sports. Definitely felt a little bit, it was getting less athlete centered, more research based, and really kind of forgetting about the base athlete. And so I remember sitting down and talking with a colleague, one of our nutritionists, and just saying, you know, gosh, I really want us to go back towards being more athlete centered. If it keeps progressing in the way it is, about mostly just worrying about research going on and not worrying about the athlete first, because I do think research is super important. But without having the athlete there to take care of, you don't really get the research. I think research when it comes to sports plays on first being athlete centered and then being able to collect the data and collect the knowledge to help that athlete out and bringing them along that pathway rather than just let me sit you down and evaluate you from head to toe and make you a number.
Okay.
So I was just talking shop with actually one of my colleagues about that. And he was kind of feeling the same way nutrition wise as well. And just wish that we did more collaboration as a team. I said, you know, I definitely would be open if there was that opportunity. And that being said, probably within like a month, literally he texts me and says, hey, I don't know if you know this, but the UFC just opened this amazing performance facility and your name was dropped. They spoke with me and I do you mind if I share your contact information? Because I honestly think you'd be a great fit over there from just the way we've always talked shop and kind of what they're looking for. And they're having a really hard time finding a PT, which is kind of who they want to be their director. Yeah. And I can tell you why I think this is the case is because I'll tell you in a minute once I finish the story.
All right, go ahead.
So literally I got a email the next day from a recruiting company that the UFC had hired. And they asked if they could just talk with me and kind of tell me what their plans were and everything about the new facility they were designing. And I sat down and I spoke with a recruiter the next day for about an hour and was impressed with everything that they were saying to me. And immediately he said, you know, with your background of all the combat athletes you've worked with and that high level, like, I really am going to push you forward into the next Skype interview process, if you don't mind. And I was just like, yeah, right now I'm thinking, no worries. I'll talk with them, kind of see what they have to offer. Did I know a lot about UFC? Not really, in the sense of I would watch some pay-per-view fights with friends when we would rent it, have a few beers, you know, enjoy that aspect, but not really diving in on, you know, who's the top athletes, what are the injuries are, that kind of thing I really wasn't familiar with. But after my Skype interview, I had a really good interview and just felt like I connected with the team that they had already made offers and that were already going to be a part of the team. And it was just super seamless. And it was about what we could do as a team. From there, then I got pulled into the in-person interview. And I remember sitting down with them and just kind of saying, what's going to happen if you build this facility and nobody comes? Like, what's going to happen if I go from treating all these athletes to literally sitting in an office and not have nothing to do? Because we don't know what the success rate is. We don't know what athletes will utilize this. Our athletes are independent contractors. So what if we're completely empty and we build this grand facility? And literally, I just remember Forrest Griffin looking at me and saying, well, name your brand. What do you want it to be in sport? What do you want to be known for? And I was like, wow, you are actually giving me full reign of, you know, my future.
He's asking the right question.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I was sold from then on. From there, I had accepted the position probably the next day after my in-person interview. Super excited to now dive in and see kind of what that possibility was and what the options were going to end up being. So that's kind of how I got here. But I would say, I think what the hardest part was finding a PT, because shortly after, I was the only PT here for about 4 months because we didn't know how busy we'd be. So we'd start with one and then we kind of each different group here, nutrition and strength and conditioning, we each started with just one and then we trickled down to like an intern or another colleague. And after our first international fight week, I literally was here till 1 a.m. trying to get all the athletes in. And that was a sure need of a second person to join the team. So when I started doing the interviews, I would say, a lot of the people I interviewed were amazing credentials. I mean, I'm talking off the charts. At one point, I think I called my mom and was like, wow, I think this guy should have my job. Like, he is brilliant. But when you broke it down and you interviewed them in person, they were only about selling themselves. They were about selling how good they were and what they did for the NBA or the NFL. And not once did they ever back up and say, what are we going to do for MMA? How are we going to do this? How am I going to be a teammate with you guys? You know? And I think that's kind of the similar process they had when interviewing myself, is I did come from the combat world. It was easy for me to really relate to them and say, yeah, these were the injuries that I've seen. These are kind of the components of everything that ties into it. And, you know, Forrest started asking me questions about previous injuries that he had had during his career. And it was really easy for me to have a very simple conversation with him on options of what to do, how to handle it from a rehab standpoint, not jumping down the surgical aspect and things like that. And I think that's kind of what won them over in hiring me. And I think at the same point, that's how I picked my second employee here as well.
That's cool. So yeah, you did, you touched on this a second ago. I was going to bring it up. The fighters for UFC, they're independent contractors. So the organization of USC built this facility. So you said they might build this and no one shows up to use it because these guys might have trained all their life with a specific person, a specific way, in a specific place. Who does come to this facility?
So initially, I would say it was kind of a brand new shiny toy. So it was some people that were not sure how to progress, new in their careers, definitely jumped on the wagon of really learning what we were offering and getting to know our staff and seeing the credentialed staff that we had and how we wanted to run a very multidisciplinary facility. And then others, honestly, now looking back, we can say the best, I would say, sales pitch that we did, or the best way to connect and get the athletes in the door, is putting myself and our sports dietitian on the road and getting to meet these athletes, you know, on the road. So I traveled to all the pay-per-view fights last year. This year we'll travel to 22 events, so pay-per-view and all the ESPN regular events.
It's a rough gig, Heather. It's a rough gig.
Yep. I know, right? I know. I won't tell you that I'm leaving for Bali, Thailand, and Australia on Friday, you know?
Yeah, right. I'm freezing my ass off in New York City right now. You're going to Bali. One of us is winning this game, and her name is Heather Linden.
So, you know, I think putting us on the road and getting to have those good conversations. I mean, I think the funniest story I tell a lot of people is my first event I went to. I literally had an athlete that was talking, I would say, poorly about our facility and saying, you know, I can't believe the UFC put all this money into this facility, but I'm never going to use it. And they should pay us more. Or we should get this and we should get this. And literally our entire almost 45-minute session was just about what a bad idea this facility was and what a waste of time and money it was. And at the end of the session, the gentleman is like, okay, so this is the best my shoulder has felt in 10 years. So can I ask you, where are you located? Because I'm moving and I'll find a coach wherever you're located at, because I think the longevity of my career has just doubled in the one session I've met you. I literally looked at him and I said, well, I am your UFC PI physical therapist. And he was like, what? And I was like, yeah, so I'm at the PI. You have unlimited access to me at free of charge. And he was like, you just let me talk 45 minutes of straight like crap about it. And I was like, yeah, because you needed to vent and you need to get what you felt out. And all I can do is let my own skill sets and my knowledge and my education sell itself, because we're not in sports. These athletes have worked with a ton of people, a ton of providers. And I mean, constantly people are throwing like, I have this gold shiny coin, work with me because of this, that, and the other. And I just felt the best way to really get the athletes in is really getting to introduce yourselves and, you know, getting on the level of talking with them. And, you know, whether it's I first meet them and they say, hey, can I just get a massage? My legs are tight from the plane. Most high level PTs would be like, I don't do massage. You know what I mean? They're looking at the bigger picture. But once you start flushing their legs and then saying, do you have any other injuries? And you start talking shop with them, that opens that door up to them and really gets them comfortable with your skill set, and then also comfortable with getting to know who you are and starting to open up that communication both ways. And then that's kind of how we've gotten everybody in the door.
Letting your talents speak for themselves. I like it.
Yep.
A lot. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to ask what it's like to be a physical therapist, watching your athletes, patients, your people walk into a ring and punch the crap out of each other. You're watching them get injured. I want to know what that's like, how you remedy that in your brain. And we'll get into it a little bit more with Heather Linden from UFC in just a second. Do not move.
Stand by.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back to the PT Pinecast.
Want to thank our sponsors, Arias Medical Staffing. Heather's all around the country, world, Bali, whatever. Arias can get you a PT job wherever you want to go. Short-term assignments, 13 weeks. If you're looking to travel, do a couple of months here, a couple of months there. Positions in all 50 states as a physical therapist. Check them out online at AureusMedical.com. They get you hooked up. Housing, continuing education, if you're going to change states, licenses. They've got people within their organization that do that for all 50 states. They know the ins, they know the outs, they get you hooked up. They just want you to do your thing where you want to do it, and that's being a physical therapist. So check them out at AureusMedical.com. They've been our longtime sponsor with the show. They just do good stuff. They want you to do what you want to do where you want to do it. So check them out, AureusMedical.com.
Calling all physical therapists.
Expand your knowledge and your practice with Rock Tape. Join their medical professional program at no cost to you.
And start getting 40% off retail pricing right now.
Just head to rocktape.com and click Become a Medical Pro
to get 40% off retail right now.
Rock Tape helps athletes of every level go stronger, longer.
With the best kinesiology tape, cutting edge education, and fitness support products.
Physical therapists,
go to rocktape.com/start
and use the code PT Pinecast when you sign up
for an extra 10% off your first order. Rock Tape, the best kinesiology tape.
Like what you hear? Tell a friend or leave a review on iTunes or Google Play.
All right, back on the show with Heather Linden. Heather's going, you're in Bali. And what was the other place that you said that was ridiculous?
Thailand and Australia.
Yeah, it's a rough gig. So you're going to all those places. Not only are you at the facility, and it's in Vegas, right? The facility?
Correct.
Yeah, that sucks too. You're doing all those things. You're traveling. What's it like sitting there at those events that you're helping get those athletes ready for and then watching them get in the ring? And it's a combat sport. Injury is not maybe going to happen. It's going to happen. What's that like as a physical therapist watching the injuries happen to people you know and are friends with now?
Honestly, this is probably by far the hardest sport I've ever worked and seen, in the sense of exactly that reason. You know, other sports I've worked in, worked with some professional athletes and some professional teams and stuff. And it's super easy because you root for that team,
right?
Team USA, specific NHL team, or that specific player. But when you're in UFC, all of these athletes have the option to work with, and sometimes I've worked with both opponents that are going in the octagon, and someone's not going to come out on top. You're watching your athletes that you've spent all week working, making sure they're as healthy as possible walking into that octagon, and then you see the other opponent who you spent time with, and you want them to be as healthy as possible. And I think the coolest thing that I once learned working with the Olympic team is when I traveled, my boss and I would help out other countries. And I said, you know, why are you helping out other countries? You know, you want Team USA to win. And he was like, it's sportsmanship. Bottom line, you want two healthy athletes competing and someone winning on their best day. You don't want someone to win because it's not a good day and they don't feel good. So that being said, it's easy for them to walk in and have this sport with me being completely like, excited for both of them, anxious, nervous, all the above. But honestly, watching the sport and then seeing these somebody losing or someone possibly getting injured is the hardest thing. I literally feel like my stomach flips upside down. And you can ask most of my colleagues, I'm probably sitting ringside, but at the same time on my phone watching. I can watch the screen. The screen doesn't seem as real.
Yeah.
And if I watch them right in front of me, I definitely get the queasy little stomach and like, okay, well, I know that's a knee that just went out or I hurt it. Please don't hurt that knee more. But at the same time, it's sport. And you just look at it from a more technical standpoint where these athletes, it's hard when you're in a crowd of people that are saying, oh, rip his head off or something absurd. Where for me, it's like, okay, I asked one of an athletes recently, like, why do you do this? And he said to me, no other sport do you get in an octagon and you have no help. There's nobody that's going to help you. It's you. Are you stronger mentally, physically, emotionally than your opponent? And he literally looks at it as a human chess game. Two guys, and it's completely raw. How do you outsmart them? And there's so many sports. There's five different, you know, sports that go into MMA. And, you know, what components of those do you use? And look at your opponent and try to outsmart, out strength, out power, out agility, out everything. I have to sit back and definitely look at that and make sure that's kind of registering with myself. But it's hard because at the end of the day, at the end of the sport, I'm hugging that one opponent and saying congratulations. And I'm also hugging and consoling the other opponent and their family and friends. So it's definitely an emotional night for me, I would say. And then right back to work. How do we get these guys back? How do we reduce injuries? Are the, you know, tracking the injuries in our medical system and, you know, making sure that we can see, are there things that we can actually find trends in that we can prevent? Or, you know, like an eye laceration, that's obviously something that's not going to be prevented. Yeah. So, you know, really weeding out the different injuries that these guys, but they're so dedicated. I mean, I had an athlete that literally had a fractured orbital and a shattered jaw where they had wired it shut. Oof. And he's like, "Hey, when do you think I can get back?" And I'm like, you're going to be drinking out of a straw for like 4 to 6 weeks. So let's worry about nutrition, making sure we keep you as healthy. What kind of exercises can we do to keep your body activated? And let's look at that kind of stuff. But these guys literally, they love what they do and they wouldn't be doing it otherwise. Most of them have genuinely said that. And I just have to look at it that way.
Yeah. You were talking about sportsmanship a second ago and, you know, watching the reality shows based around the sport and you see these two dudes who are like friends on the couch one day. And next thing you know, they're just beating the crap out of each other. And then as soon as they're done, they're like, hey, bro, like great, great work.
We pounded out and like, cool. Let's like shake each other's hands. And I think that's what allows me to really do my job and not have be as emotional is to really just say, you know, there is great sportsmanship and there's really not many other sports that you can pound someone out. And then all of a sudden you are shaking hands and saying, wow, that was a great bout. Like, hey, cool. Let's go have a beer. And it's funny because after the fight, usually everyone goes back to the hotel and there's usually a bar and they're drinking and taking pictures and they're like the coolest people, just super chill. And I think that's what I love about it is super raw. The injuries are super real. So it's also gives me a lot to work with. You know, it is definitely, we're only 18 months working with these athletes. We've probably touched about a little over 70% of the roster that we've actually all worked with, which is really cool. And we're retaining about 50 to 60% of the population of athletes we've worked with once come back and ask, hey, can I get your advice either on a injury? Now athletes are sending me pictures of, you know, hey, what do you think about this? Should I go get this x-rayed? Or hey, what are the rehabs? What can I do for this? I don't want to go the surgical aspect. Educating this population has been super fun.
I'm sure your text message, you know, incoming pictures are like, you know, gnarled fingers and weird MRIs and x-rays. And you're like, what is that?
Oh my gosh. My first fight, the next day I had a female athlete come in and I would have bet anything on it that her foot was broken. Anything. I was like, okay, so we need to get an x-ray. And she's like, oh, I had an x-ray last night. And I was like, you had an x-ray last night? And I was negative? She's like, yeah. But once you've seen it, you start to see the trend. So, I mean, I literally had an athlete a month ago came in and his coaches are like, he needs X-ray on that, right? And I'm like, nope. Within 2 days, he was like running on his leg again. So you know what just trauma is from swelling right. and bruising and stuff versus trauma from a fracture, an open fracture, something like that.
Wow. What are some of the common injuries? Are there common injuries since there's so many different things that you can get hit with?
Yeah, but you know what? It trends down to, honestly, most of our athletes, I would say, get most of our injuries are happening during grappling, wrestling. Mm-hmm. And that was the same thing when I worked with the Olympic team. I had the boxers, the judo, and taekwondo. But most happens with the wrestlers. And it's the same thing here. You know, your neck snapped down. So you're getting some disc and some radiculopathies. Athletes that throw a lot of kicks. So similar to my taekwondo and stuff, you're getting the hip labrums. Knees constantly, you know, just from jujitsu and things, getting LCL, MCL strains, things like that. It's pretty much really common. You know, when you take down that layer and look at the injuries, they're very similar to what we see on all the other sports. Yeah. Of course, you get the orbital fractures, the jaw fractures, things like that, that are a little bit more rare than you think in this sport, but definitely happens. The, you know, nasal fractures, things like that, just from the punches and stuff landing, you know, knee and shoulder and then spine are pretty much our most common.
Yeah. You mentioned a second ago, the female UFC athletes, they're beasts. Do you get confused for an athlete when people walk in? Are they like, they think you're a fighter?
No, I'm too, honestly, I'm not strong enough. I'm not badass enough to look like a fighter. These girls are awesome. They definitely, you know, can mean mug you and tell you what's up. I definitely don't get confused with that. My females are just badasses. You know, they're the sweetest things ever. And then they can just turn it on in the ring and you're like, oh my gosh, you were like the sweetest little thing over here. And then now you're literally not giving up and taking it in the octagon. It's pretty cool. And honestly, some of the cool things I've learned in this sport is our female and male athletes all start at the same pay, salary, and things like that. So there's a lot of really cool things from the back end of this sport that, you know, people don't know that it's very, you have both male and females competing under the same rules, which a lot of sports don't have that.
Sure.
You know, they're literally, it's very raw and they're doing exactly the same thing from that perspective.
Wow. I've always been curious of this. How often is someone fighting? Is it regular with everybody? So if someone gets in the octagon and they have a knockdown drag out, what's the approximate time before they get in there again? Or is it different for everybody? I don't know how it works.
It's different for everyone, depending on obviously if there's any injuries that occurred during that fight. But I would say on average, our athletes probably fight about they'd like to fight 3 or 4 times a year, depending on injuries. Some of the injuries can obviously limit that and make that more. I would say some of our champions are probably fighting twice, maybe max 3 times a year. And they honestly don't always know when their next fight is going to be.
Right.
It depends on how that weight class is being moved around from a fight perspective. It depends on what athletes have injuries and how they can move up and down in rankings. So, you know, they really don't know. So I honestly treat like their fights like an Olympic Games. You know, you don't know when the next paycheck is coming. You don't know what the injuries that are going to entail during those time periods from not only training, but also from the last fight they fought. The one thing that I've had to get used to in this sport is you really saw a lot of athletes that, you know, will do an 8 to 12 week fight camp before they fight. And then they're gone for like 2 months doing whatever they want to do, but you don't see them really training and trying to teach them that, you know, you're an elite athlete and those bubbles of bouncing back and forth from health, from nutrition, from strength and conditioning, you're not really maximizing that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Staying with a great foundation and then being able to focus on during your fight camp on your actual needs and opponents and things you want to do rather than fitness, rather than, you know, cardiovascular injuries, like trying to teach them, you know, handle all the injuries and preventative things beforehand. Don't drop off the face of the earth after your fight.
Spoken like a true physical therapist. I love it, Heather. In case you're wondering, in my career, my fight card, I believe I am 0-0-3. I think I've been in 3 fights in my whole life, and I don't think anybody won. It was just 2 dudes kind of swinging blindly at each other, all drunk, all in college. And I have barely any recollection of any of those fights. So that's all I got. Heather, you ready for 3 questions?
Sure, let's go.
On the hot seat with 3 questions on the PT Pinecast.
All right, 3 questions brought to you by Arias Medical Staffing. Who is someone that the audience should know more about? Someone in your world, in the, you know, rehab, it doesn't have to be a physical therapist, but someone in your world doing great work that the audience should know more about.
I would say Duncan French, my boss. He's brilliant and he has mastered putting together a multidisciplinary team. And I think listening to him speak and listening to the information that he pulls from our physical therapy, strength and conditioning, and sports dietitian, it literally is mind-blowing.
That's cool. I love that. Second question on three questions. What is something that you read that really inspired you?
Ooh, that's a good one. Yeah, I would say pretty much what's inspired me most. And I wouldn't say it's actually something I read. I would say it's mostly my kind of the mentor that got me into this with physical therapy would be, is he was a Virginia Tech physical therapist. He now works for the New England Patriots. This gentleman honestly always said to me, always set goals high above and beyond. Number one, number two, you know, you can achieve anything you really want to, and just sit back and like really listen to things and you will be like one of the best physical therapists. He said too many times people want to jump down and sell bells and whistles, and too many times people want to show shiny toys, but listen to what the athletes tell you. And if you can actually change that athlete and make them track forward into their longevity and dreams, you'll be a successful sports
coach. Love it. Like, I love when people at the top of the game tout the basics. I love that all over the time. Last question on three questions. You're in Vegas now. You've done Colorado Springs, Bali, Thailand, whatever. If you were allowed to go somewhere in the U.S. and do what you do for 3 months, is there a place in the country you'd want to travel you haven't gone yet?
I would actually probably live in San Diego. I love California. It has my heart. And I've never lived in San Diego, but I would probably want to go there and pursue my dreams as well.
Can't go wrong there. Arias Medical Staffing, our sponsors, as I mentioned, positions in all 50 states. They've got positions in San Diego. And people always ask, yes, Alaska, yes, Hawaii. Actually, pretty frequently I see them looking for physical therapists for Alaska and Hawaii. And again, AURUSmedical.com. Last thing we do, Heather, on the show is the parting shot.
This is the parting shot.
All right. It's your chance for like a mic drop moment. One sentiment that you'd want to leave with the audience of fellow physical therapists. Anything, you know, sentiment that you hold near and dear to your heart?
I would say always keep learning. Don't give up and keep learning. You can never know enough. Build a great team around you and keep learning every day so that you can keep getting better.
Love that. Heather Linden, people can find you on the Twitter at, what is your handle?
Heather Linden. So it's just my first and last name. All my social media accounts are just that.
You got in early. They're very smart to make it nice and easy. Heather, appreciate you taking some time out to talk with us. Just 18 months in, looking for great things from UFC. Now, every time I'm watching it on TV, I'll be thinking, man, Heather is cringing in the corner right now.
Awesome. No problem. Thanks for having me.
Keep up with the show online, ptpinecast.com, and on the socials, at ptpinecast.
All right, show today brought to you by the Brooks Institute of Higher Learning, an innovator in providing advanced post-professional education. Brooks IHL offering continuing education courses in numerous specialty areas, 6 PT residency programs, an OMPT fellowship, as well as challenging but rewarding internships. The IHL specializes in the translation of information from evidence to patient management. Learn what they can do for you to support your professional development at brooksihl.org.
Our home on the internet.
PTPintcast.com.
Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting.
To providing content marketing solutions.
For PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today.
At BuildPT.com.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.